The National Institutes of Health reports that 150 trials are currently underway testing therapies using stem cells from umbilical cord blood. That list includes investigations involving spinal cord injuries, cerebral palsy, Alzheimer's, and many forms of cancer. It's been 26 years since the first umbilical cord blood stem cell transplant. Still, 99% of all cord blood is thrown away after a mother gives birth, and that's often because it's not easy to make a donation. Sound Medicine reporter Shia Levitt learned that last year when she wanted to donate cord blood after the birth of her second child. Here's that report.
Jennifer Jones Austin was 40 years old when she woke up one morning with an unexplained fever. After a few days, she went to the emergency room. She got medicine, but the fever just would not go away. Then, the executive for a nonprofit charity woke up temporarily blind. Her doctor rushed her to the hospital, where she was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. It was rapidly advancing through her body. Within a couple days, her breathing worsened, and doctors put her in an induced coma and began chemotherapy treatments.
I was in a coma and was given a 99% mortality rate. The doctors told my husband that I was going to die. The leukemia was in my lungs. It came out of nowhere, and it had taken over my body with a vengeance.
Austin's chemotherapy helped kick the cancer into remission, a surprise even to her doctors. She emerged from the coma but needed a bone marrow transplant to have a chance at life long term. Immediate family are the first stop, so everyone got tested to see who best matched her blood and tissue type.
I have three siblings, same mother, same father, and they all were tested, ready to be a donor for me, and none of them matched. They matched each other, interestingly, but they didn't match me. And I remember when I learned that news, that was a heavy blow, because if I couldn't find a match among my family, and I had to turn to the national registry, and those people had no blood affiliation with me, what were my chances?
More than 10 million adults have taken cotton swabs to the cheeks to sign up as potential bone marrow donors for the nationwide registry known as Be the Match. Just as many more signed up internationally. It was these public resources that Austin turned to next. Still, no match, even after she and her friends helped recruit 13,000 new potential donors. Dr. Joanne Kurtzberg does pediatric blood and marrow transplants at Duke University Medical Center. She says even though 22 million seems like a big number,
most patients only have a few potential good matches.
And Kurtzberg says it can be even harder to find a match for African Americans, like Austin, because they have more varied tissue types.
Roughly 60% of Caucasian patients find a full match. Only 7% of African-American patients find a full match.
And that's one of the areas where cord blood has been able to help. Kurtzberg also directs Duke University's Carolina's Cord Blood Bank.
The advantage of cord blood is that it doesn't have to match as closely by tissue typing between the recipient and the donor, and therefore the many, many patients who will never find a complete match, either in their family or in the unrelated adult living donor registries, were able to have access to cord blood transplantation as an alternative donor source.
Cord blood is the blood collected from the placenta, or umbilical cord, after a child is born. It's loaded with really important immature cells called stem cells, which have huge potential to help save lives. They aren't fully developed yet, so they have a bunch of unique properties. Not only do they not have to match a transplant recipient as closely as bone marrow would, but they also have the potential to take on many different cell functions. Melinda Caltabiano is director of clinical services at the New York Blood Center, which helps to collect and distribute blood donations.
These are like little fighter cells that can, you know, grow into a number of different things. They provide huge opportunities for patients. And so cord blood is really like this source of cells for a patient that can't fight a particular disease, and it's an opportunity to help them in ways that you may not be able to do with an adult donor.
When I had my first child a few years ago, I couldn't find a way to donate cord blood from my hospital. So my cord blood ended up like most cord blood, discarded as medical waste. When I got pregnant with my second child, though, I found a program at the Carolina's Cord Blood Bank at Duke University Medical Center that sends cord blood donation kits to pregnant women around the country, no matter where they're delivering. After filling out some paperwork and making sure my doctors were on board, they sent me a styrofoam box, so large that I needed one of those big blue IKEA bags to transport it. It wasn't heavy, just cumbersome for someone already carrying another large load in front. After the baby was born, the doctors and nurses collected and packed up the blood samples, and my husband shipped it in the postage-paid container. We wondered if maybe an easier-to-manage box might encourage more people to send their cord blood into a bank. Again, Dr. Joanne Kurtzberg.
It's a horrible, big, clumsy thing, and the reason it has to be like that is because the FDA regulations say the box has to be able to hold temperature for 48 hours, and in order to have a box that can hold a constant temperature, you have to have all that packing in it, and the packing is big, bulky, and expensive.
Only about 1 in 10 hospitals are set up to accept cord blood donation for public banking. If your hospital isn't among those already set up to facilitate this, you have few options if you want to donate on your own. The lack of infrastructure is a big reason why so much cord blood ends up thrown out. Of about 4 million annual births in the U.S., fewer than 21,000 cord blood units are collected and stored for people who might need life-saving transplants.
The main obstacle to cord blood donation is having enough resources for mothers to donate. Mothers want to donate, but most hospitals are not set up to accommodate donations from moms.
Cord blood banks need to receive donations within 40 hours of a baby's birth. Strict FDA rules govern how cord blood is collected and stored by public banks, and for now, Kurtzberg says those clunky shipping boxes are a necessity. Cord blood transplants can help patients grow new healthy blood and bone marrow. For people like Jennifer Austin and others with blood disorders like leukemia, lymphoma, or anemia, this means a chance to live longer.
I'll never forget the doctor coming to see me the day after I was moved out of intensive care and telling me that they'd identified two cord bloods, and they thought that they were very good matches for me. I was excited, I was joyous, I was grateful. At the same time, I was full of nerves, of anxiety. What if somebody else came and grabbed those cord bloods before we could get them? What if this was my only hope?
Austin's transplant came from the umbilical cords of two healthy African-American baby boys.
Almost 4 years out, and the cord blood has worked. It's given me another day, it's given me another month, it's given me another year.
Austin recently joined the boards of directors for the New York Blood Center and for Be the Match. She hopes more women, especially women of color, will donate their cord blood when they give birth. For Sound Medicine, this is Shia Levitt reporting in Brooklyn, New York.
By the way, Shia's son Devin turned one in April.